Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. In the late 1800s, no business matched the financial and political clout of the railroad. Trains dominated the transportation industry of the United States, moving both people and goods throughout the country. Then a new discovery came along. Anybody guess what that was? The automobile. Incredibly, the leaders of the railroad industry did not take advantage of their unique position to participate in this transportation development. The automotive revolution was happening all around them, and they didn't use their strength in the industry to take hold of the opportunity that lay before them. In his book, The Search for Excellence, Tom Peters points out the reason. The railroad barons didn't understand what business they were in. And Peters observes that they thought they were in the train business, but they were in fact in the transportation business. Time passed them by, as did opportunity. They couldn't see their real purpose. When you lose track of your purpose, you end up frustrated, disappointed, and defeated. That same type of danger exists for every Christian congregation. One pastor told his congregation a few years ago, "Perhaps you shared some of my disappointment and frustration last Sunday when the rain fell and many of the chairs we had rented stayed empty while we celebrated our community outdoor that quickly became an indoor Easter service. I felt frustrated, disappointed, and defeated because I thought that this year we were going to have the biggest and best outdoor service this congregation has ever had. But when all was said and done, I'm relatively certain that we drew the smallest number ever." But perhaps that's the reason God allowed things to happen the way they did. In this vivid way, God refocuses our attention on our real purpose as a Christian congregation. Last Sunday, God reminded us that we're not in the business of hosting the biggest and best Easter service. We're in the business of making disciples for Jesus. We're in the business of bringing people to their Savior on Easter Sunday and every other Sunday of the year so that together we might rejoice in the risen Lord. That's what Peter reminds us of in our epistle reading this morning. In that reading, God, through the Apostle Peter, encourages us to rejoice in our risen Lord because he gives us a living hope. We rejoice because he gives us genuine faith. Listen to the opening verses of that epistle reading again. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you." There's a story about a small boy who was being raised in a frontier town by his grandmother. And one night, the house caught fire. The grandmother, trying to rescue the boy who was asleep in the bedroom upstairs, was overcome by the smoke and died in the fire. A crowd had gathered around the house and they heard the small boy crying for help, and the lower floor was a wall of flames and no one seemed to know what to do. And suddenly a man pushed through the crowd and began climbing up an iron drainage pipe that ran to the roof. The pipe was hot from the fire, but he made it to the second floor window. He crawled through it, located the little boy, and with the crowd cheering encouragement, the man climbed back down the hot iron pipe with the boy on his back and his arms around his neck. A few weeks later, a public meeting was held to determine with whom this now orphaned boy would be placed. And Each person wanting the child was allowed to make a brief statement. And the first man said, I have a farm and would give the boy a good home and teach him a good trade, a noble trade. The second person to speak was the local school teacher, and she said, I'm a school teacher, and I would make sure that he received a top-notch education. And finally, the local banker said, Mrs. Morton and I would be able to give the boy a fine home and a fine education. We would like him to come and live with us. The presiding officer looked around and said, is there anyone else who would like to say anything? And from the back row, a man rose and slowly pulled his hands from his coat and said, I offer my child, my love to the child. The man's hands were scarred terribly from climbing up and down the hot pipe, and when the boy saw him, he recognized him as the one who saved his life and ran into his waiting arms. Now, I don't know if that story is true or not, but at Easter, we clearly see the one who has rescued us from death and given us not just a new life sometime in heaven, but a new perspective on life right now. At Easter, we clearly see the one who suffered the scorching heat of God's wrath over our sin and even the pain of hell to rescue us. At Easter, we're blessed to see the conquering love of a Savior written in the nail marks in his hands. Easter is the powerful proof that Christ's love has overcome our greatest enemy. And Easter motivates us to run into the waiting arms of our Savior who has earned for us an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. That is the message we are given to share with others, not just on Easter, but every day. Like that pastor said, we aren't to pin the joy of Easter on the number in attendance at any event. If we do, we miss the point of Easter when we get frustrated and feel defeated because some event doesn't work out the way we plan. Easter doesn't stop at 11:59 on Easter evening. The joy of Easter lasts forever because our risen Savior is going to take us to be with him forever. Our purpose as a congregation is to share our Easter joy all the time, in every opportunity, not just inviting people to some special event, but bringing them to see the hands of their risen, loving Savior who gives them a living hope, both now and for all eternity. And God also tells us that this faith is proved genuine through suffering. In this you rejoice. Though now for a little while, if necessary, you've been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Some of you may remember the name Dave Dravecki. Any baseball fans here? He was a pitcher for the San Francisco Giants. And at the peak of his career, he was diagnosed with cancer in his pitching arm. He received treatment, and though the doctors warned him to take more time to recover, he was back on the mound in the 1989 season. Now, those who watched his comeback that year will never forget the game when Dave's left arm snapped with a deafening crack that could be heard in the stands. His comeback quickly ended as they discovered that the cancer had returned and it ultimately required the amputation of his pitching arm. Now, it's bad enough to have cancer, let alone face the amputation of an arm, but then on top of that, to lose a promising career as a Major League Baseball player. Dave was naturally filled with many questions, struggled with depression, wondering why this would happen. And during his struggles, letters poured in from all over the country. Most were letters of encouragement. Some were looking for answers to their own questions of life. They'd seen him keep his faith, and they wanted to know how he'd done it. And then one day he received this letter. Dear Mr. Dravecki, if there is a God who cares so much about you, why did he allow you to have the surgery in the first place? I've lived 41 years in this old world and have yet to see any piece of genuine evidence that there's anything real about any of those religious beliefs you talk about. God certainly doesn't love me and has never done a single thing to express love for me. I've had to fight for everything I ever got in life. Nobody cares about what happens to me, and I don't care about anybody else either. Can't you see the truth that religion is nothing more than a crutch used by a lot of weaklings who can't face reality, and that the church is nothing, nothing but a bunch of hypocrites who care nothing for each other and whose faith extends not to their actions or daily lives, but is only just a bunch of empty phrases spouted off to impress others? Those are some tough words, especially for a man who's struggling through some very difficult questions of his own. But Dravecki responded to this letter by writing, I'm convinced that there is a God, and that no matter what happens to me, there's a purpose for it. Behind that purpose stands a loving, caring God. I think that's an attitude that only Easter is able to produce. And Dave Dravecki continues to share that hope with others today. What that man had written would be true if it weren't for Easter. Without Easter, the Christian faith is a sham, mere hypocrisy, a crutch for weak-minded people who are afraid to square off against the problems of life. But the reality of Easter, the reality of our risen Savior, demonstrates the remarkable love of our God who would not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. Easter proves that God's love for us remains constant because Jesus' tomb was and is empty. It's Easter that gives us insight into our own suffering and confidence to face the problems of life in a sinful world. As Peter said, in this you rejoice, though now for a little while you've been grieved by various trials. But God promises to use these difficult, we could even say evil, experiences for his glory, as he proves to the world that the faith which he has created in our hearts is genuine. Genuine faith is filled with an inexpressible joy that offers God praise, not only in good times and times filled with earthly comfort and security, but especially when facing times of uncertainty and pain and even suffering. That's because our faith sees beyond the here and now and rejoices in the bliss of eternity that our risen Savior has won for us. The real question that we must ask is this: how will we continue to share the joy of Easter with those around us in our community? Not just at Easter, and not just on Sunday, but every day of every week, of every month, of every year, that God grants us life upon this earth. That's the question that should drive each and every decision we make, not only as individuals, but especially as a Christian congregation. Because we want everyone to know the gift that Easter brings. That though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your soul. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. We rise for the parish prayers. In our prayers this morning, we want to remember Bryant Neal. Bryant's been released from the hospital. He's recovering at home. He's still struggling with the infection, a bit of the infection from the displaced stent. But please continue to keep him in your prayers. We pray for the family of Julie Frazier. She was actually called home to heaven early on Easter morning. There will be no memorial service at this time for her, but keep her family in your prayers. Prayers of thanksgiving and continued healing for Colleen Fuller's niece, Kendra. She was released from rehab last week. They believe they've diagnosed her situation. It's a very rare, I don't know if you'd call it a disease, but a very rare condition, and she still needs some assistance, but has made wonderful progress. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, in the midst of your doubting disciples, you showed your scarred hands and side, confirming your victorious resurrection. Relieve any doubts we may have and strengthen our faith, that we may believe firmly that your scars tell the story of your love and of your victory over sin, death, and the devil for us. And give us the desire and boldness to both speak and show your love to those you bring into our lives who have yet to believe. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious Lord, you have given us this good land. We are so blessed with abundance, with freedom, with the safety and peace that is unknown in so much of the world. Hear our prayers on behalf of the leaders of our country. Give them wisdom and courage to care for the needs of all, especially those who cannot speak out for themselves. And be with all who enforce all just laws on our behalf, placing themselves in harm's way for us. Lord, in your mercy. Comforting God, we ask that you would be with all who are ill, injured, facing surgery, or recovering from surgery, especially Bryant and Kendra. Pray for those who are hurting, mourning, or enduring difficulties in life, especially Julie's family. And we ask that you would be with those we've listed before you today and those that we hold near in our hearts. Keep before their eyes the hope of the resurrection and reunion with all who die in the faith. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, we ask your blessing on Sheila, Martin, Hope, Greg, Thomas, and Lynette this week. Let me start over with that. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, we ask for your blessing on Sheila, on Martin, Hope, Greg, and Thomas, and on Lynette this week. Give them strength and hope, joy, and courage each day, and use them to show your love to one another and to everyone else you bring into their lives. Lord, in your mercy. O God, our Heavenly Father, we praise you that in your Son Jesus you have given us new birth into a living and lasting hope through his resurrection from the dead. Sustain us in that hope, Father, especially when circumstances test and refine us, so our faith in Christ may prove to be genuine and enduring to the end. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful Father, lead us more and more in the way of the cross, which is the way of self-giving love, forgiveness, humility, and servanthood. For we are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people who belong to you, so that we may proclaim your praises in the darkness of this world as we shine the light of your love, forgiveness, and mercy. Into your hands we commend all for whom we pray and ask that you hear us, for we pray them in the name of our Easter risen Savior and Lord, Jesus. Amen.